The one point I wanted to bring up is the whole reason why we started Free Radio Santa Cruz 3.5-4 years ago was because our voices were not being heard by our local Santa Cruz Sent Anal. They were not being heard by the San Jose Mercury News, and it cost us quite too much money to make zines and print out flyers. Well, Robert is really good at doing the whole flyer thing, but some of us just can't afford to make flyers. And like, I tried to do zines here and there, and I had to, you know, use some of my fellow workers at Kinko's or whatever to go do it behind their boss's back to get me free copies and stuff like that. And,
right.
And I couldn't get my word out that way. And we go out to protest, the cops would arrest us, and then the Sentinel would come out with, you know, violent protesters downtown, throw bottles and rocks at cops, you know,
right,
or whatever. And so now we have a forum, and we're going to keep this forum.
Yes, we are.
We've had it for quite a long time, and we know how to deal with these pesky little federales that keep trying to fuck with us every now and then.
Let me throw something at you. Also, I mean, as far as using the radio, the FM dial to reach people, I mean, of course, some would argue that we have fine public broadcasting in this community, and that, you know, they're serving the community just well enough where we don't need, you know, a bunch of quote-unquote rebels on the air where, you know, some of these issues are getting talked about. Some people will argue that. However, we all know that that is not the case. You cannot call up KUSP and talk about homelessness for 2 hours. They don't even have a whole show dedicated to it.
Well, let's look at some of their programming. Like, okay, they play Counterspin one day a week.
One day a week.
And we play it 2, sometimes 3, sometimes 4 days a week, but
right,
it is scheduled twice a week, so people can hear it in the morning and at the evening. They don't play alternative radio, which we play. They don't play Breuerhoff radio. They don't play Making Contact. KZSC used to. Bob DeBolt used to play it on a show, but it was always a really old one and never an up-to-date one, and we're always playing the most latest up-to-date stuff that we get from the National Radio Project. And these public stations, so-called public stations, and are not playing these things. Even the latest one, Coast Public Radio,
right,
is supposed to be coming on the air sometime soon.
And look at what they do play. They play Car Talk.
NPR.
NPR, you know, Morning Edition.
National Petroleum Radio.
Exactly. You know, brought to you by Archer Daniels Midland, you know, force-feeding you genetically engineered products.
And they're already being aired. And, you know, this whole new station this guy's setting up, National Public, or whatever, Coast Public Radio,
right,
is playing the same things. KUSP's playing the same things. You know, I mean, KZSC, I'm glad that they play KPFA News. That's a really good program, I think, personally.
Yeah.
There's some good information on that show, and that's one of the few news programs that you could really sort of trust.
And Green Voice.
Green Voice is a good program. But
but other than that, that's about the only issues that ever get discussed.
Yeah, we have Uncle Dennis coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. You know, you're never going to hear that Earth First stuff that's just elaborately detailed, and it helps people with just get out there and not just hear it, but participate, become a part of the whole public process of changing it and supporting these, you know, fighting these cowardly bastards who are killing people in the north by chopping down trees on top of them and then avoiding it because they have corrupt sheriffs who run around and pepper spray the protesters. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, this is what I was thinking about. I was walking along on my Walkman listening to free radio, and I passed by this one person, and they couldn't hear what I was listening to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing. It's nothing that you can see. It's nothing that, like, it's not like dropping a banner on the side of a building that says Greenpeace or Earth First. It's not like throwing a pie in someone's face. It's not like sitting in the middle of the street and refusing to move. We're not in anyone's sight. We're not downtown beggars. We're not we're not in anybody's face. And the only people that can pick it up are humans that happen to have a monitor. Happen to be at 96.3 FM and happen to be around the area of Santa Cruz.
Right.
And it's like we're not defacing anything. We're not being graffiti. We're not, you know, we're not doing anything illegal. And you can't even see what we're doing. You have to hear what we're doing.
Exactly.
Of course, that leads us to the question that a lot of us are always asking, how many people are we reaching? How many people actually hear us?
Yeah.
And a lot of people ask me that question, and I don't know. What do you guys think? What's our broadcasting audience consist of?
Oh, millions.
Well, I mean, honestly, we probably have a potential audience of 50,000 people if everybody in the city of Santa Cruz was tuned in on their radios. I mean, that many people own a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing why it's important that we have this access to, you know, the airwaves, because, and not that I'm going to bag on community television, it's a really good outlet for people, but not everybody can afford cable either. And I know I, for one, can't afford cable. It's $15 a month, and it's just $15 extra I don't have just to get one, you know, network that might be interesting to watch, and you get, like, 50 other networks that you don't care about.
Yeah, I'll open that for you in just a minute.
All right, thanks. Hi, I'm at work. I got to get back to work.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all my two bits I wanted to say.
All right, well, thanks for your call, caller.
Okay.
And anybody else would like to add to this?
427-3772.
Bye.
And that, of course, was Skidmark Bob, who has his own show. When is Skidmark showtime?
Friday at 9 p.m., the Independent Landscapes and Soiled Underwear Show. And on Monday mornings at 8 to from 8 to 10, he does public affairs programming, where he does air some of those very shows that we were talking about, like Bruderhof Radio, Alternative Radio, and Counterspin, as well as Making Contact. Shall we take a musical interlude here?
Why don't you tell the folks when your shows air?
Okay, well, yes, of course, I'm V-Man, and I do two shows here, as well as covering for other programmers when they flake on their shows. But my show was last night at 11 p.m., Rockin' the Boat. Wednesdays, every Wednesday at 11 p.m., Rockin' the Boat. And then on Fridays, more of a news focus. Fridays at noon, from noon to 2, we cover things like I was covering tonight about the world of micro radio, other issues around the country about police brutality. I also talk about some homeless issues, all kinds of stuff, you know, environmental issues. I believe I'm of the opinion that all of these issues are all affected by each other. Labor issues, homeless issues, you know, micro radio activism. All these things are interconnected, and they're all very important. And those are the types of stories I like to cover on my show, Rockin' the Boat, Fridays from noon to 2 p.m. So tune in for that, and of course tune in to Robert's other show Sundays at 11 a.m. from 11 to 1:30 on Sundays. And right now we are going to take a musical interlude. This is Mojo Nixon and Skid Roper, Pirate Radio. You are tuned to 96.3, Bathrop Spears Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor, with your host, Robert Norse.
The pirate ships are sailing out on stormy seas. There's a radio free America just for you and me. The big radio stations are stinking up the air. The abuse, let them plot, it's a real nightmare. Say, hi, I'm a diesel, got on pirate radio. Another free and home of the brave. FCC calling your grave. The Coast Guards are coming to shut the pirate down. They don't believe in free speech, the FCC's in town. Their axles and their hammers, they're smashing all the beds. They want a little battle, but the war's not over yet. Say, hi, I'm a diesel, come on pirate radio. Land of the free and home of the brave. FCC calling your grave. Oh, what are they afraid of? That we might tell the truth. We might play something good and it wouldn't be a go. We need is liberty, not those sticky laws. Freedom from the FCC and their money grubbing paws. Sing! Hi, I'm a diesel, cut on the pirate radio. Land of the free and home of the brave. FCC calling your grave.
Talking with
Mike. So what was happening was the California Association of Broadcasters visited Monterey, as all you folks probably well know, and Freak Radio Santa Cruz came down. Free Radio Monterey at that time was being shut off, was being visited by the FCC and shut down. And at that time they visited KRML, the Jazz AM station, and shut their illegal transmitter, which was put up by their engineer, who engineers KNEW in the Bay Area. I guess they felt that since 89.3 was adjacent and clear, that they could get away with utilizing that. And they did for a short period of time before they were visited. And then we were the next to be visited. And since...
And you guys, again, are in Big Sur, kind of way out in the boonies, right?
We're behind locked gates. We're up high, and it's pretty difficult to get to us, and that's a pretty good thing. But I get, you know, it doesn't, you know, there's still, you know, there's always going to be a few conservatives, a few right-wingers out there that'll spoil it for the rest of us, because, I don't know, because they're afraid. They're afraid of their own realities. So the FCC had come down to try and find us, which point we were off the air, and they sat there for, they came down, they brought two vans, they sat on the one for a day, and then they left a field officer for the next 2 days. He stayed in the state park with spectrum analyzers and scanners and whatnot, wasting taxpayers' money to look for a station which serves the public interest. Never did find it, left, and there you have it.
Hasn't been back since, huh?
Not recently. We've got a lot of people on the lookout on either end. Since Big Sur is great, you either come from the south or from the north on the one. If these unmarked vehicles with a big government on the plates are pretty easy to spot, and people it's a very small community, very tight knit, and a lot of people support what they do and don't really understand why it is that there should be a problem, or there should be a whole lot of red tape and bureaucracy, a bunch of hoops to jump through to do what we're doing.
Now, what exactly does Free Radio Big Sur? How should we call you again?
That's right.
What kind of programming do you have? I know here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, we got lots of different folks. Free Radio Monterey largely is handled by, I guess, one or two people.
At this point, they are completely, he's stream audio right now, and he's shut off. He really got, Monterey is, you'd think, would be a very liberal town. It's not. Our sheriff, Hit Norm Hicks, is totally against stuff like this. And so they came and got him, and they told him to knock it off. Did. They didn't take his stuff, but they wiped out his frequency. A local religious broadcaster, I think, is run by one of the religious, many religious repeaters. They have paper pushers in Washington and a lot of money, so they put these repeaters everywhere, and it's basically because the FCC at this point can throw their hands in the air and say, see, we told you there's just not enough spectrum space for people like you, because you simply don't have the financial backing to put out $2 million to start a bona fide Class B station.
Mm-hmm. But Big Sur is still broadcasting.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're having a bit of a problem because we are protecting radio to the north and to the south. It seems a little ridiculous because you really can't hear much of anything but us and the NPR affiliate down there. However, a major media conglomerate that owns a commercial station in Salinas brought up a repeater off of Mount Madonna to saturate Ben Lomond and who knows what for, so that they can get their new wave broadcasting, get their signal into an area where I guess it's not heard crystal clear. Well, you figure with 300 watts off of Mount Madonna, it's going to come clear down the coast and slam into, you guessed it, us. So it's just a matter of time before some irritated, well-paid corporate engineer takes a ride and hears about it and calls in the the FCC.
Well, until that time, what kind of programming would one hear if one were driving through Big Sur listening to 89.3?
Well, we really, as much as we like to push the envelope, and I'm definitely, I've been doing it for a long time, we don't program a lot of political stuff as we would like to. We're mainly music. I mean, of course, the programmers that are on our station are activists, and they'll put their point of view across. But we don't really get into the grit of it as you would hear here in Santa Cruz. as much as we'd like to think that we are protected by our community, there are a few people out there that would not hesitate to call and say, get these guys off the air, because they have a point of view which they don't agree with.
Now, has Big Sur got some interesting political divisions we should know about for this upcoming election, or perhaps which are not going to be addressed by the election, but which are there nonetheless?
Well, sure. I mean, I suppose, yeah.
It's a small community, right?
It's very small. I mean, you figure there's probably only 2,000 people with telephones, and, you know, there's probably 2,500 people at any given time in Big Sur. And for the most point, you've probably heard it before, a lot of these people are were referred to as nonconformist, and they don't really give a shit about the cultural elite and the conservative right, but there are those few that sort of balance it out. There's also the yuppie hippies that have, won't push the envelope and don't, it just all kind of goes. I mean, we're just not Santa Cruz as much as we'd like to be.
Well, don't try to be too much Santa Cruz too quickly. Brooks, talking to that notorious people's eater. Why are you all this food picking off of them? What else kind of sandwiches?
That's good. Peanut butter and lump jelly, that's it.
Okay, nothing low LSD thrown in there?
We don't do drugs.
Getting back to the question of the, now Feed the People is back on the streets even though Sean Alimi is gone, is that correct?
That is correct. We are continuing on in his name and having a great time just getting food to hungry people.
Now I understand that where Sean and other Feed the People vans were parked out in the, I guess, the industrial area of town, there's a new crackdown of a sort happening, right?
It's Mission Extension, which is down, it's like the last street before the end of town, and you hit all the open farmland, and it has been a open parking zone usually for like big rigs and industrial stuff. There's never been a problem because we're not out there harming anybody. There's just buildings there. We park out there because we have the 40-foot long school bus, and
you violate every night the sleeping ban.
You got it. We violate the sleeping ban proudly.
Yes.
Where else can you? There's no place. It's over this. Where else can you park a 40-foot long school bus and not offend people in their neighborhoods or whatever? We don't want to park where people are going to think that we're there peeing on their lawns or.
How about
knows.
Fresno?
Mike
Watkins suggested.
I like Santa Cruz, thank you, but people have decided that they no longer want our buses sullying the lovely industrial area.
Well, is that perhaps what this strange document here, which I see this bizarre-looking man with the white cap, who's illegally standing on the planter lip, shocking, I must say.
It is entirely due to that, because the individual that has complained the loudest about us is a person who runs an RV center, and he believes that having our buses park outside of his RV center gives the area a bad reputation. My opinion is he's afraid we're going to steal something from him, and we have no intentions of stealing anything. We're just parking there because it's in the industrial area where all the big rig people park their big rigs when they're in town.
The big guys and their big rigs, eh?
Yeah, and it's like...
The big rigs and their big rigs.
We figure, okay, if it's okay for the guys with the big rigs to park there, we're in the same category as that. Why is it so evil that we're parking our bus
we're
there?
We're part of the commercial scene. Let's look at it that way.
Yeah, it's we're not making $100,000 a year, so therefore we are not allowed to live here.
This notice, change of on-site or on-street public parking controls.
What's
the City of Santa Cruz Public Works Department has received a request
for a change of on-street parking controls on Mission Street Extension. The City of Santa Cruz will install no parking 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. tow-away on Mission Street Extension between Swift Street and Natural Bridges Drive. Overnight, on-street parkers may be towed by the police department upon complaint. This network will be initiated 2 weeks after public notice. Notice will be posted at the site and postcards will be mailed to occupants at properties adjacent to Mission Street Extension. If you disagree with this proposal, please send a letter of protest to City of Santa Cruz Public Works Department, attention M. Adato, 809 Center Street, room 201, Santa Cruz, 95060. Letters of protest must be received by Friday, December 4th, 1998. For further information, catch this, listeners. Call the Public Works Department at 429-3106. So it looks like they're trying to freeze you out of any legal parking places at night out in that area.
That's exactly what they're doing. And I don't think that one person complaining about, oh, these buses are making it ugly for us, it's like, excuse me, it's an industrial area. The whole area is ugly.
Have you considered taking this to City Council tonight, which is having a meeting at 7 o'clock?
Ooh, I didn't realize they were having council tonight, but that sounds like a very good idea.
The new City Council is, in fact, coming in tonight, and you might want to walk up to a new council member and present them with this and say, I'm with Feed the People, I don't like this a bit. If you show up there at 6:45, I'll introduce you to a new council member.
Thank you, I would like that.
Sure, that's in about an hour and 10 minutes.
Unfortunately, Feed the People was busy feeding the people, and I went around to the City Council meeting, and I did give copies of both the notice that I read aloud on the air, as well as a postcard that was sent out to one of the occupants of the area, which specifically said that the reason they were pressing for the new no sleeping, or not no sleeping, but no parking signs at night was to deal with make it easier for police to use to deal with camping ban or sleeping ban violations, since we weren't talking about people living in tents, but sleeping in vehicles. And we may have an incoming phone call here. I have my co-host here is checking it out.
David Silva.
Looks like that bad boy, David Silva, is with us again.
You know, definitely like to say that with the mayor having declared intention to look into the camping ban and take out those parts that are criminalizing homeless people, I think it's really bad faith for Public Works to be doing this, and that they, of course, should be immediately told to stop changing any parking signs anywhere that might change sleeping zones for the vehiculely housed. I think it's really outrageous, and it's an insult to the mayor. If this was in the gears by the previous mayor or the previous vice mayor, then perhaps, or if this isn't geared by Mike Rotkin, you know, lobbying that department, I think it's still, you know, pretty serious insult, and it should be met on real quick here.
Well, I would suggest, listeners, you can actually do this tonight if you want, listeners. You can give a call to Mr. Adato of the Public Works Department.
What was that number again?
At 429-3106. Again, 429-3106 to tell Mr. Adato...
Cease and desist.
Cease and desist from new and no parking signs in a situation where survival is at stake for people as the weather gets colder and they only have their vehicles to sleep in. Of course, we talk a lot about vehicular sleeping, and that's actually part of this flyer that I issued yesterday, put it out, and I'll be reading it on the air in a moment for those of you who haven't heard it. But, you know, that's only a minority of people in Santa Cruz who don't have shelter at night.
Yeah, we need to stand by all the segments of the houseless population.
That's correct. And the way to do that, of course, is to find shelter, as Keith Sugar so insistently put it at some of the forums he spoke at. But before that, to stop arresting them, or at least keep them in jail overnight if you're going to arrest them, I guess.
Until the flood is over, let's not worry about the bridge and let's pull out the pontoons.
Yeah, you got it. Get back to us, David. As soon as we play the City Council transcript,
sure,
you'll be able
to.
We can join the battle in earnest. You and I can talk about just how responsive the City Council is actually being to the issue.
Yeah, there's a question.
All righty.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobs Pierre Robert. My co-host is the V-Man, and this is 96.3. Our phone number here in studio, 427-3772.
flyer I mentioned, Why Won't the City Council Stop Homeless Suffering Caused by the Sleeping Van This Winter, I wrote it after the last City Council meeting when we repeatedly asked the City Council incoming new people to prevail upon Catherine Byers, the continuing council member, to put something on the November 24th agenda around the sleeping ban. She refused steadfastly, and instead she did mention that the sleeping ban would be revisited. She didn't say when, she didn't say how soon, she didn't give any kind of commitment or promise in terms of the upcoming winter. In fact, the term winter didn't seem to have much relevance to this city council. It was full of happy, clapping people cheering their favorites, which I found just a little bit disgusting, I gotta tell you. Again, I was the odd man out at the party, the turd in the punch bowl, but I didn't stink enough. Had I thought of it, I would have brought along a sleeping bag and rolled my bag out right in the middle of their damn dais so they could haul me away while they continue their festivities at Palookaville, which I think would have been quite appropriate. However, that opportunity missed. We'll have that opportunity at the next council meeting, and hopefully there'll be 15, 20, or 30 of us who will roll out our sleeping bags and say, sweet babble and compassionate motions without any substance aren't enough. However, before I get into my rhetorical overload, let me finish this, read this flyer to you. Why won't the city council stop homeless suffering caused by the sleeping ban this winter? Police harassment is on the rise. Vans are now being towed as tools and implements of a crime. You heard Chris Brozda talking about this earlier. For those caught sleeping in their vans. This in the midst of the officially declared 1990, 1995, and 1998, that was in November 10th, shelter emergencies. That's emergencies declared not by wild and eyed lunatics from the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, not by social service stooges from the Community Action Board, not by wild out-of-towners from the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco, no, but by our own city council, 1990, 1995, and 1998, not just for those years, but as a continuing reality in this city and in this county, where the city admits that hundreds have no choice but to sleep outside or in their vehicles. Cars and buses are being harassed with threats, tickets, and tows in downtown parking lots, particularly places like Washrock, like Coast Federal Parking Lot, where the Happy Corner is, where Happy John Dine was shot at Soquel and Front Streets. That entire parking lot has been closed off, apparently, to stop people from parking their vans there. Major crime prospects when those folks are parking their vans downtown, perhaps the crime of not paying rent, the crime of having an old vehicle in a town that wants only new vehicles. I'm not quite sure what the crime is. Maybe it's the crime of a kind of vicious class war by those who are rich and in power. That seems to me to be the real crime. New instant tow-away, no parking zones on Mission Street Extension. We've talked about this between Swift Street and Natural Bridges Drive are planned by the Public Works Department. Call Mr. Adato at 429-3106 to protest. A postcard sent to nearby residents baldly admits that the no parking restrictions from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. will facilitate police tows of homeless people and vehicles under the sleeping sections of the camping ban. Vehicular sleepers are being jailed for two instances of sleeping within 48 hours, we heard Mr. Brozda, and their vehicles towed under the misdemeanor, possible penalty up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. This we knew at the last show on Sunday, but what we didn't know, well, we actually knew that the City Council had nothing on this, on the agenda, but we hoped beyond hope that they would commit themselves to some timetable in their opening speeches. City Council members give opening speeches. They did not, and you're going to hear this later in the show. My flyer reads, no measures were on the 1124 agenda to deal with the winter crisis, though the council found time to make pretty speeches, crack jokes, and deal with other business. Mayor Byers promised to revisit the camping ban, you know, kind of wave as she visits and then wave as she leaves, not only provided no schedule, but she explicitly refused to call a special session for December 1st. She explained to me she was out of town. She would get back, but she had another meeting she had to go to. She wouldn't put the matter on the December 8th agenda. That's the last city council meeting of the year. And you need two city council meetings to change a law. That sleeping ban law needs two city council meetings to change it, or call a special session for December 15th. I could, let's say, go have the December 8th session, and then they could call a special session on the 15th. That, by the way, is what you, oh listeners, should urge the city council to do. Two sessions, special session on the 15th, regular session on the 8th, introduce the sleeping and blanket ban repeals, get them through. You can also say, if you aren't going to do this, just what exactly are you going to do? And just in time for what?
and after how many deaths. Let's get a timetable, folks. If she does not act, there can be no action until the second week in January. None of the new council members would commit themselves to a timetable or any assurance that there would be action to rein in the out-of-control police using the sleeping ban to expel the poor. Not a word was heard about police review at this city council meeting. Not a peep out of any of the city council members about police review. You see, my thought is that perhaps the Sentinel scared old Chris Crone and Keith Sugar as they stood in front of the town clock with their friend Steve Argue. You may have seen that picture in the paper. They were at a rally against police violence, which commemorated the life of Happy John Dine. He'd been shot a year ago on November 12th, 1997, and there was a what's called the Stolen Lives Monument at the town clock, brought down by the relatives of those who have been killed by police, including Charles Vaughn Jr. His father was killed in Seaside for allegedly wielding a menacing corkscrew on a rooftop in the presence of a police officer after he was driven up there by the police, who essentially illegally invaded his home on a mental health mission. Anyway, there was no mention of police review at the city council. There was no mention of anything, in fact, that was specific enough to give us any assurance that they actually realized there was a crisis and an emergency that had to be dealt with before Christmas. Nothing. And yet all my friends on the committee to repeal the sleeping ban were very, very happy with what they heard and very, very hopeful that there would be changes in the sleeping ban somewhere along the line. Maybe they'll put it on the ballot in March with the fluoride initiative. Well, that would be nice. See if you can hold your breath without sleeping for 3 months. That might be an interesting task. Now, there's someone will say, well, hey, look, this certainly is an improvement from Mike Rotkin and Scott Kennedy. We should all be so happy about that. I don't think that argument really deserves too much discussion. When there is a real crisis and individuals who have earned, who have claimed the work and allegiance of lots of people, as these three candidates have in their election campaigns, refuse to deal with an issue in time for the winter crisis, they are significantly discredited as far as I'm concerned. Now, they still have time to deal with it, and you still have time to pressure them into dealing with it. You want to make sure that these people don't fall in my eyes, and this could be very important for them, keeping up their reputations in my eyes. Give a call to City Council tonight, 429-3550. You don't have to worry about it being a holiday. It's actually easier to get through on the 24-hour message line. You call 429-3550. You push the star key, and you say, to all council members, particularly Byers, Crone, Sugar, and Fitzmaurice, what is your timetable for stopping police harassment of the homeless so that they will be able to sleep and cover up with blankets during the winter, given that there are less spaces than for 200 people in the Armory and Interfaith Satellite Shelter program combined? What is your timetable? Why isn't it going on the December 8th agenda with a December 15th special session? If you don't want to do that, please tell me what you do want to do. Real simple question. You know, I put that question to Tim Fitzmaurice, and I put that question to Catherine Byers, and I put that question to the other two council candidates. I put the question to Fitzmaurice a day or two before the council meeting, and he just said, I have to talk to Catherine. And I put that question to Catherine, and she said, I have to talk to the other three candidates. And then when I put the question to Catherine immediately after the council meeting, she said, well, I can't do it on the 8th, and I can't do it on the 1st, because I got other business, and on the 8th, there'll be nothing on the agenda around the sleeping ban either. That's what she said, folks. I mean, those are words from the mouth of Birdseed Byers, so-called not because of anything she's done recently, but because of millions of things she's refused to do over the last decade, when she's probably been one of the most popular city council members in our history. So, you might say, well, you know, she didn't have the votes. I've heard this so many times. I didn't have the votes. And that's true. She was regularly outvoted 5-2. Well, guess what? On November 24th, she had the votes. She just didn't have the ovaries. Keep it in mind. So, there I am, giving you my view. But really what you need, and I've got to find the proper tape, is the actual view of what happened on that night. So you can tell that I'm not just sort of making this up as I go along and bad-mouthing council members because I'm such a cranky guy. Here is some oral communications that happened at the afternoon session of the November 24th City Council meeting. Now, why at the afternoon session? Normally oral communications are at 7 o'clock in the evening session for all you council hounds. That's the period of public comment when the council so generously allows you 3 minutes if you didn't speak the time before, if there's time for you, and so forth and so on.
If the
item isn't on the agenda, and indeed, if you don't make personal attacks is becoming the new watchword of the city council. Celia Scott just hated it to death when I criticized her, not for anything personal. I didn't talk about her love life. I didn't talk about her taste in food. I didn't talk about her personal preferences. I talked about her political actions. I talked about her sellout on the community house project. I talked about her selling out on the closing of the Coral Street Open Air Shelter, the only homeless campground Santa Cruz really has ever had. That's completely legitimate. She interrupted me and tried to stop me from talking. That's Celia Scott. That's right. Mayor, ex-Mayor Celia Scott, the mistress of free speech in our community. She tried to do the same thing with another speaker, Phil Baird. We had to shout at her to tell her to stop trying to interrupt the public from making its voices heard at oral communications. You see, it shows you that no matter how saintly a person you are, and it's really not true that Celia's a saint, but, you know, she certainly has worked very hard on a number of issues, and I frankly have a lot of respect for a lot of the things she's done. But those positions of power are extremely corrupting. When people ask me why I don't run for city council, I've heard that a couple dozen times in the last 3 months, I tell them, of course, with a quick laugh, I'm running from city council. But that's not entirely a joke. If you get into these positions of power, they will change you, believe me. And I feel much more comfortable and much more able to be a voice right here behind the mic, right there out on the streets with the flyers. Maybe this makes me afraid of success or, you know, trapped in a little rut. It could be, you know, I don't know. But if someone as thoughtful, articulate, well-educated, and courageous, because in many ways Celia has been very courageous, can try to shut down speakers because she doesn't like what they're saying about her, times are tough. And it shows you what's really going on with the force of that kind of office. It's really a very corrupting power. Power corrupts, and absolute power, as we know, corrupts absolutely, pretty clearly. So let's hear from some people who are not corrupted by power speaking to people in power at the 3 p.m. oral communications period. The first speaker, I believe, is a woman named Eleanor, who is a friend and worker with Sean Alini, the Feed the People man who so tragically died in an auto crash 2 or 3 weeks ago, and who is a fighter against the sleeping ban and the horrors that police visit on homeless people just as a matter of regular course, nightly.
A resident. Before I begin my 3 minutes, may I ask, I'm not sure of policy. Do you mind disagreeing a little slower? And I'm wondering if it's possible to get out of your meeting or so. If I don't move quickly enough, I don't have a lot to say, but I'm slow. And if I can't get that, can I give it to the next person to finish? And he has something to say too, but if he could finish mine in the minutes, and maybe we can get around 6 minutes between us.
That's fine, 6 minutes between two people,
that's
fine.
Okay, thank you. My purpose for speaking today is to request each of you to reach inside yourselves and find a reason for casting a vote for the decriminalization of being homeless and repeal the sleeping ban here in Santa Cruz. If you cannot reach a sensible, correct decision on repeal and decriminalization today, I suggest a temporary moratorium of the ban to allow you to seek unbiased legal advice from those with complete knowledge of this policy and the legal ramifications of it and come up with a plan. The City of Miami has a plan which came after a lawsuit that cost the city millions of dollars. We'd like ours to come before any lawsuit.
I ask you to recognize today that involuntary homelessness is in itself enough of a burden to carry without any of the hardship of criminalizing those who are caught up in it for whatever reason. I remind you that homelessness is the only social crisis that we have in our community where the victim is criminalized. Our law says ban on camping, but in reality, it's a ban on sleeping. Camping is a vacation with toasting marshmallows and singing songs. Sleeping is disparity, cold, wet, sleepless nights with fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of our police, who should be fulfilling their role of serving and protecting instead of seeking out, arresting, ticketing, and sometimes jailing for the same offense of sleeping. Reasons for homelessness, the one-third of all men who are homeless are veterans. The workers' compensation system with its serious flaws is a major contributor to homelessness. I'm a living testament. Divorce often results in homelessness for one of the partners, whether it's the man who has high support payments and now can't afford to house himself, or the woman doesn't get enough support or no support and her and her family are forced out. A violent household where children and women have to flee for safety and mental or physical disabilities. Homeless people are not transients, they're residents. They are not, as the myth in our sleeping manual says, people who flock to Santa Cruz. People remain homeless where they live. The ratio of homeless to house is equal all across America. Take Chico, population 51,000, homeless 1,500. Approximately the same figures as Santa Cruz. Who could Chico be homeless? No offense to Chico people. They didn't know they had become homeless. They were there when it happened. Look at this. Some people choose to be homeless. They don't want to be helped. In fact, no one chooses to be homeless. If you hear that, it's either from someone who has a mental condition or someone who needs to hear themselves say that because coping with the reality of it, the pain, the loss, and social stigma, coupled with the realization that there's no real help, is too great to bear. So you tell yourself it's okay, but you're doing it for a minute.
Could you continue? Yeah, I'll give her more time. Or no?
If you want to give her your time,
yes,
I'll let her know. We'll go around this time. There's plenty of help for those who want it. In fact, I can attest to the fact that for many of us, there's no help. I've been homeless since 6 months after my on-the-job injury 3.5 years ago. I've not been able to so much as get a voucher for one night's stay in a motel, though I've tried numerous times. Don't be like an incompetent parent who cannot cope with the problem their child has and throws their hands up in punishes, convincing themselves that that's the answer. The solution is not punishment, the solution is cooperation. Homelessness is not a crime, it's a blight that cannot be eradicated by punishing its victims or telling us to leave town if we want to sleep, like it's our choice. I don't believe for 1 minute that you're doing to those residents of Santa Cruz that have become homeless is the will of the people of Santa Cruz. Some can liken these tactics to the purging of the Jews in Germany, or the refusal to serve blacks in the 50s, or denying gays equal rights, or the beating of blacks in the streets of South Africa, or, as it is here in Santa Cruz, searching the woods at night with high beam lights and threshing out the bushes, out of the bushes, any poor soul who's stuck out there in the cold trying to sleep, not with the intention of helping them, but with the firm, callous determination of preventing them from the crime of sleeping, to wake up and move them away. It is not the homelessness that is an atrocity against Santa Cruz, it's the treatment of them, or rather us.
That's for sure.
Repeal the sleeping ban, please, immediately, or declare a moratorium, create safe zones for sleeping, and above all, train our police force, as they are required to in Miami, to deal with individuals who have become homeless with respect. I pray with all my heart that you vote responsibly today. Do not judge us, rather embrace us. The only illegal part of homelessness in Santa Cruz is what you're doing to the homeless. May God bless and guide each of you with your vote. There may come a time when the city of Santa Cruz finds that it feels it's being called upon to bear a disproportionate share of your expenses on this issue. At that time, the city should direct its concerns to the state and federal government. Federal government has enacted many programs to get help to the homeless. From the sheer amount of programs that exist, and are being proposed by the federal government, we can deduce two things. It does not seem to be the intent of the federal government to continue to disagree with the idea that we should continue to criminalize homelessness. Due to certain laws being brought by and for the homeless persons to not be declared a criminal for the sole reason of being homeless, and due to those lawsuits being run by the homeless, they're coming with that.
Okay.
Thank you. I think we're not going to stretch it that much further. If there's someone else who wants to give your someone else.
To read it?
Yeah.
Would you come up and read it?
Excuse me, please. I'd like the next person in line to be able to speak. If someone else wants to come up, then they can finish it.
Oh,
when they come up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
God bless you all.
Oral communications 2 days ago, November 24th, at City Council. We are, because of bad dubbing, kind of running around trying to get our oral communications in line. So bear with us. This is sort of a primitive approach. While we're doing that, you're going to hear a brief blurb from an interview on the street with one of the happy hosts. I cornered him in his wheelchair as he was rolling down the street. Actually, we had a rather pleasant conversation, but you might find it interesting. This is an interview with Bob the host. He heads the hosts out of a wheelchair. Bob, who is one of the hosts, he's the only host I know of that carries his own chair with him. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing excellent today. Beautiful day. Nice fall day.
Yeah, it's lovely. Although, I think it's getting cooler, and the sun is setting earlier, I'm noticing.
As soon as the sun disappears, it's time for a jacket.
Yeah. You look like you might be on the verge of needing a coat.
Getting close. Very close.
Now, you're wearing the green shirt that the downtown hosts wear. They're, of course, the group funded by the Downtown Management Corporation, originally kind of seed money by the City Council, but I think basically supported by the downtown merchants. How long have you been with the hosts?